To wait a while, but I'm a witness, he'll fix it. After a while, amen. No matter how you feel today, I'm a witness that Jesus will fix it. Oh, gracious and eternal God, once again, I stand in this sacred desk because you have called me to do so, and you have brought together your people as you have done many times before, not only here, but throughout the world, through every generation. Your people have gathered to worship you. And we do so today, God, and pray in the name of Jesus that you will come and make this gathering worthwhile. And that means be in our midst. Help us to feel your presence and hear your voice and to leave forever changed. Remove anything, God, around us or in us that prevents us from worshiping the only true God. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for who you've made us to be. We pray your blessing and anointing on these few moments of reflection. Have your way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. We are in the Thanksgiving season. Before you know it, we'll be around the table celebrating God's blessing through a Thanksgiving meal. But I'm here this morning to get us ready for this season. Usually, we talk about Thanksgiving just at Thanksgiving. But I'm trying to help somebody this morning not be a turkey. Amen. Amen. Somebody who don't know how to give God thanks. So turn to your neighbor and say, don't be a turkey. Turn to your other neighbor and say, don't be a turkey. Don't be the one who does not know how to give God thanks. Turn to, or at least stand to your feet as we read this Thanksgiving Psalm, Psalm 100, which is to prime the pump as you approach Thanksgiving Day and to begin to live your life in a spirit of thanksgiving. The NIV version reads as follows, Psalm 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. You may be seated. Amen. I was reflecting last week and brought to this psalm by really having to check myself. After the election, I got in an Uber with one driver, and he reminded me of how blessed we are. And the day after the election, Reverend Kine, too, reminded us in Bible study how he grew up in Liberia, and he talked about literally being in a war zone and walking around with his friends and seeing his friends gunned down right beside him. And then the Uber driver was from Nigeria, and I think, I don't know exactly what I said, but somehow he picked up I wasn't grateful. And he said to me with his Nigerian accent, Americans don't have no problems. He said, in Nigeria, we are suffering so that people are throwing themselves in the water to drown. They are putting a rope around their neck because life is that hard. He said, in America, you don't have no problem. I have to say, I was glad I got out that Uber. It was so... It was the most intense ride of my life. But when I got out, I had to thank him. Because I realized, and I thought I was a pretty grateful guy, but he made me realize that God has been so good. And sometimes, particularly in America, we can look at what everybody else got that we don't have. We can look at our wish list and say, God didn't give me the house I wanted, the car I wanted, the job I wanted, the spouse I wanted. And we can begin to forget all that God has given us. And God invites us, and I want us just to take a moment. Pull out your bulletins, and there's that sermon section. I want us to take just 30 seconds to write down three things that you are thankful for. And I want you to think about things that God has done for you where you know it was nobody. This is not to be shared with anybody but God. But I want us to really begin to think about the goodness of the Lord. Think about, you could have been born in a war zone area of this world. Think about, you could be born not on duty in Afghanistan or Iraq or some other place that's looking for food. You could have been born there. And every time you write something down, just I want you to say, thank you, God. Fifteen more seconds.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank God for your health. Thank God for your children. Thank God for your companionship. Thank God for whatever. If you got a penny, thank God for the penny. Food and water and clothes. Heat in the church. Electricity in our homes in the church. Transportation here and there. Come on, let's all stand on our feet and just give God some praise right now. Everyone who can, stand to your feet and let's give God some praise. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Open your mouths and thank God. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Bless your name. You're worthy, God. You're worthy, God. Bless your holy name. Amen. 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 You may be seated. This psalm, Psalm 100, invites us not only to thank God, but shout for joy. I remember watching the Super Bowl 2 years ago when I thought Atlanta was going to beat the Patriots. They were up like 17 points. I was shouting. Yeah, I know Huckabee said I shouldn't have been shouting, but I was shouting. Don't worry, Huckabee. At the end, I was not shouting. But we shout in some ways worship, because worship gives values to things we care about. What we should be giving value to the most is the Most High God who created us. So many of us, we may shout when we get something we love. We may shout for a sports team. We may shout about whatever it is, but we sit back on God. God says you ought to express how good I am. You ought to tell somebody that you don't know like I know God has been good to me. Tell somebody again, don't be a turkey. Thank God. Tell him he is good. Tell him that you're glad. I guess what I want to say this morning, I want to change our way of being in the world. This is not a sermon. This is a way of being, existing in the world. Be somebody in the world who not enters in and start talking about what's wrong with the world. Be somebody in the world that's always looking at how good God is. We will never have everything we want in this life. But thank God that we have more than we need. Thank God that if you are broke, thank God you're in your right mind. Even if you are in pain, thank God you can feel something. I want to change the way we exist in the world. We ought to be people who go around and get in Ubers and say, ain't God good? We ought to be people who walk in the church and say, I enter his gates with thanksgiving. I am glad you're here, sister. I'm glad you're here, brother. I'm glad that he gave us clothes to wear, food to eat. I'm glad that I don't have to hide like they have in times past when I can tell the world I'm a Christian and not be crucified in America. There are places where you got to hide your faith. I'm glad we don't have to hide our faith. The psalmist invites us during this Thanksgiving season and for the rest of our lives to be in this world as instruments of thanksgiving, instruments of praise. You ought to be able to tell a Christian by the joy. By, you know that song, the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. You know, I sing because I'm happy. You're the reason why I sing. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This psalm is not just a Thanksgiving psalm. It's an everyday psalm. Because God is good. And so God invites us to worship him. Verse 2 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. You know what worship is? Worship really happens when we have an encounter with God. Worship is finding something of value. What has more value than God? In my studies, I remember a lesson about when worship encounter, we encounter God. And there are three explicit ways that God says in scripture that we encounter him. The first way is we encounter him. I don't know if you have that scripture. When two or three are gathered. Matthew 18:20 says, when two or three are gathered, I'm in the midst. It's not that God is not with us when we're alone, but explicitly God says, when y'all come together in my name, I'm there. That's why it doesn't take a full house. You just got to grab hands with some other believers and begin to worship God, because God is there. You can't have worship without God. Not only is he with us when we gather together, God is there when we take care of the least of them. As you think about Thanksgiving, don't just think about yourself. Go and serve the least of them. Go and give somebody something that you don't have, that you know does not have anything. It's interesting that God puts the service of poor and the down and out as a place where he is. Let me just make it plain to you. In Matthew 25, verses 37 to 45, God invites us into a place of servicing the least of them. Matthew 25, verse 37, starting at verse 37, we find these words. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick, we are one, or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did to me. Drop down to 44, it says, then also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? He will reply, truly, I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. You want to feel God's presence? Help somebody. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Go visit those in prison. Give water to the thirsty. If you really want to worship God, we don't just worship him in church. We worship him in gathering together. Yes, even in our homes. Yes, in our church. But he's there when we're two or three are gathered. He's there when we're taking care of the least of them. And then he says, I am there when you sacrifice and remember me. Where do you get that? In Luke 22, 19, he says, this is my body. In communion, which is sacrificial, he's saying, this is my body. When you do it, remember me. What is he saying? This is my body. I'm there when you come around the table. I'm there when you remember me. I'm there when you sacrifice as I have sacrificed. If you really want to worship God, we got to quit being so selfish. And we've got to remember to serve others during this holiday season. Because God invites us to worship the Lord with gladness. How do we worship him? By coming together and praying. How do we worship him? By serving the least of them. How do we worship him? By being in communion with him and remembering his sacrifice. Psalm 103 says, no. Why should we worship him? Psalm 103 said, no, that the Lord is God. We worship him because he is God all by himself. It is he who made us. And we are here. Somebody say, we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God loves us and he takes care of us. But sometimes we forget we didn't get here on our own. Tell somebody, God created you. Turn to your other neighbor and say, and you are his. We worship him because we are his sheep. He takes care of us. And so he invites us to enter his gates, a place that is designed for worship, especially designed for worship. That was the temple for them, the church for us. It says, enter the church with thanksgiving. Well, you know, it's old cliche. I was glad when they said unto me, come into the house of the Lord. But it ought not be a cliche. We ought to be skipping the church. Because God is good. And we're here to worship him. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thank you, God, for this wonderful gift of life. And into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. Somebody say, the Lord is good.
Lord is good.
And his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's why we were singing today, great is thy faithfulness. Somebody here may be feeling like, how can I praise God when I lost my job? How can I praise God when I'm depressed? How can I praise God when I'm lonely? How can I praise God when I'm fussing and fighting with those I love? How can I praise God when my health is not what it used to be? How can I praise God in all of the stuff that I'm dealing with? You can still praise him. Because he still gave you breath. He still clothed you in your right mind. And if you hang out long enough, he'll bring you out of wherever you are. This is not a psalm that is void of reality of life. It's telling us no matter what you're going through, as long as you are living, there is a reason to give God praise. I'm speaking to somebody who feels broken and battered by life. I'm speaking to somebody who feels like it's hard to praise God because life is so difficult. I'm preaching to you today because no matter how bad you think it is, I dare you to praise God anyway. Because when you praise him anyway, you say, God, my praise is not dependent on you giving me what I want. My praise is dependent on you being God and believing that you are faithful no matter what. He is our creator and he is our redeemer and he is worthy of all of our praise. There is a story that speaks to that. It's called a symphony of a broken orchestra. In December of 4 of 2017 in Philadelphia, 400 musicians came together directed by David Lang. And I'm trying to figure this out. All of the instrument came from the public schools who had cut the budget in the public schools music department. And so they brought in 400 instruments. Some of the instruments didn't have strings. Some of the clarinet and the horns didn't have pedals, and guitars without strings, and violins missing an A string. It was a mess. But they found a way, these 400 broken instruments, to make a joyful, harmonious sound. Some of them, you know, they didn't use the instrument naturally. Some of them, they were raking a stick over the strings, and they were tapping on the instrument. But it made a beautiful sound with all of this brokenness. Come on, somebody. One by one, the musicians left the stage until the one violinist made a beep. What am I saying to you today? You may be here broken. Maybe you don't have all that you need. But if you're sick, depressed, broke, divorced, lonely, sad, no matter what it is, if you'll just give that brokenness to God as you enter in, God will hear harmonious praise and he will bless you. We're not here because life is okay. all of us got something to complain about. All of us got something that we're not happy about. We're here just like that orchestra. We may be walking in, okay? Some of us not walking in, okay? But no matter how you're walking in, you're walking in. Make the sound with your brokenness. Thank God just like you are, and God will make a beautiful symphony of our brokenness. And I think that's more beautiful to God than somebody that has it all right all the time, which is none of us. But if you only come to church when God gives you what you need, you only come to church when you're feeling good, when you only come to church when you get a new job, a new house, a new car, if you only come to church when God blesses you, your sound ain't the same as somebody who is able to praise God, whether they're in a walker, a cane, or in a wheelchair. What's beautiful for God is even when things are tough, we can still give God a hallelujah praise. I'm going to read, come on, Moria, I'm going to read the Message version of that scripture, which is very emphatic in its contemporary language. From the Message, Psalm 100 says, "On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God. And God, God. He made us. We didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you." That ought to be the password for getting in the church. Thank you. Make yourselves at home talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, loyal always and ever. The other day, I don't know if you caught it, it seems like we had such a brief autumn with respect to the leaves being so beautiful, because the wind came and they, you know, the foliage was bright and beautiful, then the wind came and knocked them all down, so we couldn't enjoy it much. But I remember one day last week, and I tried to send a picture to Janet and it didn't go through, but I took a picture, I stopped on the road and I took a picture of this tree that was bright red and bright orange. It was magnificent. And I just began to praise God. Now, the problem is that the day before, I was in such a hurry that I didn't take it then, because the next day it didn't look the same, because the leaves again was half off, but it was still beautiful. And that was just a reminder to me, is that when God along life's way gives us this moment, we've got to pause right there and thank him and praise him, because sometimes in this life, those moments are always fleeting and passing away. So we just got to stop and stand up and applaud God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Why don't you stand up right now and applaud God for all of his goodness right now? Come on, we can do better than that. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless your name, God. You are worthy, God. Thank you, Lord. Stand up and give God some praise. As we sing "Thank You, Lord," hymn number 324, I want somebody to come forward and give their life to him today. He died that you might live. As we sing "Thank You, Lord," hymn number 324, if there's someone here, will you please come and give your life to him? Come on, let's sing together "Thank You, Lord." Thank you, Lord.
You've been so good.
You've been so good. I mean, you know that today he's been good. Been so good. You've been so good. I just want to thank you, Lord. Would you give your life to him today? Thank you, Lord. Yet there is still room. Why don't you come to the altar? In addition to your needs, come with a spirit of thanksgiving. Yes, we need to be healed. Yes, we need to be delivered. But come believing, come receiving. Got a special prayer request for Rhoda Bailey, who's going into surgery next Friday. Come on, Rhoda, come to the altar. And then all of our sick and shed in. But as we come to the altar, asking God to heal, deliver, and set free, come, come receiving and come thanking God. Come on, let's sing that one more time.
Wow.
I love you, Lord. Let's let the Lord know we love him.
I love you, Lord.
I love you, Lord.
I love you. Love you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord.
Oh, how we love you, Lord.
Yes, God.
Oh, how we love you, Lord.
Yes.
We only know about love because you first loved us.
Yes.
So we thank you for loving us, God.
Yes.
Most gracious and merciful God,
yes.
We stand before you with great, great reverence and thankful hearts.
Yes.
We're thankful, God, that you took watch over us on this week,
yes, God.
Which was a bit of a roller coaster, God,
yes.
But you were there every step
yes.
of the way.
Yes.
God, we thank you for the way you understand our concerns. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your patience with us. We thank you, God, that you forgive us of all of our sins. We thank you, God, that when we fall short, you say, come to me. We thank you, God, for blessing our children and protecting them, God. We thank you that we have a church that we can come into and say thank you. We don't go into a tent. We come into a church building that is beautiful, God, and we say thank you. That we can worship you openly, God. Thank you. Thank you, God. I am grateful to you, Father. I am grateful that you love us the way that you do. Father, I am grateful for the message on today, because we all wrote a list,
that's right.
And we are reminded
yeah.
of how good you are.
Yeah.
And sometimes it seems like our prayers are not answered, but they are in fact answered.
That's right.
Because you gave us your son, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So they're answered, God. I praise your holy name for who you are. I thank you, God. I love you so much. Father God, I thank you for the veterans who have served in the past, current, and in the future. I thank you for their bravery. I thank you for their selfless sacrifices, God. I thank you for those who have gone on before us. Father God, in this sick and shut-in list that I hold, there are many who are calling on the name of Jesus. But only you can offer the peace and comfort that they need. And at this moment, we pause for a special blessing upon Rhoda. And God, you have shown us victories before. If we have people standing in this building right now, and we know that you can do it. That's why we come to a good and awesome God. We serve you, God, with the highest adoration. We thank you for who you are, for being the healer when we need it, for the redeemer when we need it, for the friend when we need it, for the comforter when we need it. We bless those, God, who have lost loved ones. You can comfort them, only you. So it is a privilege to come before you in prayer, God. Father God, again, forgive us for when we fall short. Thank you for the gift and Pastor King, a great shepherd that you have given us. Father, I love you. I am so full this morning. But I ask that you would continue to bless those parents who lost their kids this week over senseless shootings, over the fires, and over all that's going on in the world. But I thank you for the reminder that you are God, because we have hope again. Through this week with the election and all of that, we prayed for, God. You answered our prayers when we needed you. So I'm grateful for that small victory, that hope. You restored our joy. I love you with all of my heart. And we lift up this and everything inside of us to you. In Jesus' name, amen.